and church, and that would be a politics. And so we're gonna pass out cards that you can sign up who you're gonna vote for, so we can know how to pray one way or the other. I'm just kidding. We're not gonna do that this morning. That would be exciting, though. It'd be a great way to clear church out, and so that would be fun. That's not what we're going for, though, here today, so we probably will not do that. However, when I've been praying, I can be honest, the last few weeks, I've had a lot of fun, and a lot of prayer has gone into each of the sermons the last few weeks. In fact, if you missed last week, you missed a few weeks ago with Pastor Rachel and myself, which she is, she greets you, she's at home again with a sick child. Lord, get rid of all the junk, all that stuff. Someday heaven, there's going to be none of that. No more colds or fevers or anything. Praise the Lord. It's going to be good. We did that a few weeks ago. We talked about addiction, and we talked about alcohol and some of those areas and just what maybe the principles of the word are. Today, when we think of politics, it is one of the most polarizing things that is around. In fact, if you are a Fox News person, or you're a CNN or MSNBC or whatever other one, that there's several on the other side, whatever side you would be on, most likely, if you're like just about everybody else I talk to, you can hardly handle the other one. So if you're a CNN person, you watch Fox News, it makes you just want to get sick of your stomach. Or if you're a Fox News person, you just can't stomach it. You know, one way or the other. It's amazing the polarization of politics in our country. And when I look at the church, I believe we should be a unified group of people. I don't necessarily think that that means that every single time, every single one of us has to vote for the same person, which is good news, because that's never happened anywhere in the history of a group of people, that everyone voted for the same thing or same person. But we need to be unified. And when I think of politics, this especially comes down to being able to have a conversation is always important. In fact, if you've been around here for very long, you've heard me say, I would much rather always have a conversation with someone, always, even if it's negative. Even if you want to come and yell at me for 30 minutes, I'd rather hear you out than not have any clue where you're coming from. Because I can't do anything if I don't know where you're coming from. And in politics, I feel like we have this feeling that the only thing you can do is yell at one another, whether you're actually with loud voice or not. That's the internal feeling. If you're going to talk about politics or if you disagree. So it's really fun, if you're like me, to talk about politics when you're talking about politics with someone that believes and votes similarly to you. Because it's like, yeah, we're right, everybody else is wrong, this is wonderful. However, if you put in someone who might be on the opposite side, then all of a sudden, it's like, I don't know what I can say. I don't know what I can do. Am I going to make someone mad? If you're going to talk in the public, maybe people that aren't followers of Jesus, if they don't believe like you, that could be on any topic. It's like, oh, this is horrible. All of a sudden, there's kind of anxiety of what do I say? What do I do to not offend? How do I have a conversation? And I believe that this is a horrible place to be as a people, where we can't have open and honest dialogue, especially inside of the church. Because how in the world are we going to have open and honest dialogue outside of the church if we can't do it in here first? So I've been praying and just asking God, what in the world should I say on such a huge topic? Because if you didn't know, there's not the scripture in the Bible that you put Trump up there and it says vote for Trump or vote against Trump. I just haven't found it. I was looking for it because it's easy to preach that. Like, I can do that. Last few weeks, I think you know, I'll preach it straight up. I haven't found that exact verse, so I'm like, Lord, how do we have an open discussion with a few hundred people and online? How do we have an open discussion and see what God would say to us today? Number one, and as I've just been thinking about this, it's vital to realize that we are united under one, and it's not a president or a senator or a congressman or our local school board president, or whatever, all the way down to the lowest level. We're united under Jesus. We're united under one God and one King. And whatever happens in politics doesn't really, in the end, matter, because God is ultimately in control. And it's vital to realize, before we go any farther, that that is 100% where it is. That's 100% where it stops, where it starts, is Jesus. That's who we're united under. One Father, one King, our Lord, our Creator, we united under our God. In the Bible, we see some things, and One that I want to point out, which is good news, I believe, for all of us in the United States of America or wherever we are in the world. But there's this king in 2 Kings chapter 13 and 14 and talked about throughout. But in chapter 13, 11, it says, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not turn away from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, with which he made Israel sin. In these books, this wicked king, he's not simply evil, but he is evil. A person's evil like Jeroboam, like this king. So when we look throughout the Old Testament, there are portions of scripture just like this, where there is an evil king and where people are evil like that guy. That's pretty bad when you're not good like someone, but when you're evil like someone, that's when you say, I don't want to be in the Bible for being evil like that guy. But a chapter later, there's another Jeroboam, the son of Joash, and it said, for the Lord saw the affliction of Israel, which was very bitter, for there was neither bond nor free, nor was there any helper for Israel. The Lord did not say that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. This evil, evil king God used to save his people. Can anybody say, thank the Lord that God uses people, whether they follow him or whether in this case they are completely on the opposite side? God is way bigger than whoever is in office, whoever is the leader over us from a political way. God is way, way, way bigger than that. God is simply on the throne. And it doesn't matter who is the president, who is the king. It doesn't matter who is over us. It doesn't matter, I mentioned before, who the school board president is, where your kids go to school, and what they're for or against. God is king. God is Lord, and we are united under one God. Now, this fact that the God of the universe can be so perfect but use existing evil people is kind of mind-blowing. God is so much bigger. His purposes are so much stronger than what we are, that his plans cannot be contaminated or messed up by, thankfully, you and me, by whoever's in authority over us. And when I think of a political world that we are in, I think of a right, I think of a left. I think of a group of people that they stand upon, at least what they talk about, is against abortion, which, if you don't know, I'm against abortion. It's a huge thing. But there's also social justice things that, if you want to go on the other side, that are important, that people talk about. It's so important. If I could just say today that there's only one group that was 100% right and one group that was 100% wrong, once again, it would be 100% easy. This would be awesome. It'd be easy to know what to do. But that's not necessarily how it is. And so in our world and in your individual life, when we think of politics, I think it goes down to so many things. Is, Lord, what is it that you have put on my heart? What is it that I should do? Lord, am I, or maybe church, I should ask you, are we willing to truly ask the Lord, what's your word say? How can I line up the closest with your word? Spirit, what do you speak in my life? What is it that is going to be my cause? What is it that I am going to stand for? I mentioned before that to me, abortion is about as big a deal as it comes, because those babies cannot, they don't have any voice for themselves, so they're the least of these, the least of the least. They don't even have that outside of the womb breath yet. And so to me, that's an important, super important thing that, if you know me, I talk about it periodically. That's pretty much how I'm going to vote. I'm going to vote for things that may possibly someday overturn Roe versus Wade. And if so, we are going to have a party in the church, because I believe that that was one of the biggest things in our history that hurt God's heart. But when I say that, what about all of the other things? I think when we think of a president right now that says things, if anybody else in the room loves his Twitter feed or loves the things he says all the time, then I think we need to pray for you, because I don't think that would be God's heart either. What do we do when things are said that are at the very least racially ignorant? What do we do? How do we take that? How do we rectify one good with one bad? And that's where when I look at the Word of God, I'm just so thankful that He leads us, He guides us, and He directs us. And it's possible that you and I pick a different topic that is our have to when it comes to voting. It's possible that God would lay different things on your heart, on my heart. And guess what? I can live with that. I can live with us having differences and different thought. But what I can't live with is if I personally, and I pray you also, are not willing to year in and year out, every time I vote in a voting box or booth, to say, Lord, what is it that you have for me? I don't want to vote for just what my parents voted for or for what people before me or what I've done, but Lord, this year, this person, this moment, what is it that lines me up with your word and that you would speak to me the best? And we're always going to have to pick, I think. No one's perfect, definitely not in the last time that I've been alive to vote. We're going to be picking at some point the lesser of two evils, or we're going to be standing on a few things that we believe so strongly in that's why we're going to vote. And I can tell you in this house, I would be happy. Anybody wants to ever talk politics with me, as long as you're not going to leave mad, I would love it. I am all for it. In fact, as Steve Sharpnick, he's over here, we went out last week and we talked about everything from cussing to I don't even know what. It was a whole long list of stuff. I loved it. It was the greatest. I can't do this with everyone. It was like 3 hours somehow. I'm not sure how that happened. We didn't actually talk politics much, so that was good. But I would love to sit down and talk with you. If you ever, I just want to run some stuff by you. All for it. And we don't have to agree. And on Sunday morning, guess what we can do? We can come worship Jesus together. In fact, let's go golfing together, whatever it is, because I want to align with God. And I pray that that's what you are doing in your moment, in your heart, in your space. And so whether abortion, which means you're going to lean more Republican, or maybe some more social justice thing, you might lean more on the other side, Democrat, guess what? I want to pray and line up with the Word of God. But something that I've realized, and as I've been preparing and thinking, is that if I vote Republican, I have got a lot of work to do. Because that means I'm believing for no abortion, which how do you take care of millions of babies every single year who are killed if they aren't killed? What does the church do to stand in the gap and to be there and to pick up people, these kids, or to take care of the families that don't abort their babies but maybe adopt them? That's what that means. We have a job to go and to rise up and to be the church. We have the job to be Jesus's hands and feet. Or if you vote Republican in the room, that means we've got a big crisis, maybe on a border, maybe where we have to go. How do we reach out to immigrants and those that are in need? Because guess what? The Bible is very clear that He loves all people and that we need to take care of people and help people. How do we do those things? And maybe on the other side, what do I do if there's situations or there's things, even like last week, we were talking about the LGBT community and pushing those things upon the church specifically. How do we do? We have to then rise up on the other side because there's not one side that's got it all right, which means no matter who you vote for or how you vote or if you're a party line person or if you are just praying that a third party will come or that one of our young people or that somebody in this room will rise up to be a godly leader that we can vote for and unite 100% around, that's me, if you don't know, that's what I'm believing for. We've got a lot of work to do as the church because there's not someone that is the one, that's God. And so today, I pray that you, in this little, I don't know what this talk was, just being real with you, that none of us are 100% right. None of us are 100% wrong. I'm going to vote for the lives of little babies. And there's others that you might vote in different ways or for different things. We might even end up at the same conclusion or a different one. But today, are we willing to let God speak into our political situation? Are you willing to let God speak into your life, into your vote, into who you are? Are you willing to let God speak and move? And then, are we willing to be okay, to talk, to be in community, to hang out with, to encourage one another? And maybe through iron sharpening an iron, I go a little bit one direction or someone else comes a little bit the other direction. because there's more information and more ideas and more thought. Awesome. Or maybe we just have to agree to disagree. In fact, sometimes strongly disagree. Guess what? I think he's big enough and he's strong enough. But once again, if we're going to vote one way or the other, we have a lot of gray area, a lot of gaps to fill in because no one's got it right. No one's got it 100%. And this morning, I'm going to stand up for babies. I'm going to stand up for those that need help. And Lord, help us take care of those that are poor, those that don't know what to do, or those that are in a poverty mindset. Help us to help those people come out of that and be able to walk in health and in wholeness in all the areas of life. The last thing that I'll mention before we jump into some more word is I encourage you, in fact, I would plead with you. If you are a Republican or a Democrat, I have seen very, very few Facebook posts that have been beneficial to the world that involve politics. Just being real, there's just not a lot of them. Every once in a while, I'll read one, even somebody I disagree with, and be like, that was really well done. But guess what? That doesn't happen very often. And I would encourage you, throwing things, especially using the Bible, I don't know that Facebook is the best spot to have public debates on politics, really on a lot of things. I wouldn't say that it would be. Now, if you want to put together a private group, say, hey, if you want to talk some politics, we're just going to have some fun and throw a private group, that would be a great way to do it. Make it closed. Make it so you can do that. Or even sometimes when it comes to the word, I encourage you not to just throw things out where people aren't sure what you mean and there's no background, because I don't think that it speaks well of us overall. Which means, Lord, how do you help us to speak your truth, your love, and sometimes to even speak our political view in a way that is uplifting and building up those around us? Because I pray that that is what we get to do, and that's what we do as the body of Christ, is encourage and build up. And the goal is to see this room and hundreds and thousands of churches around the United States and around the world full of people, not because of some political view or what we think, but because the Word of God is big and strong and active, and he's the God that saves us and makes us new. So if you're going to vote more on the Republican side and you're going to vote, which they generally at least say that they're against abortion and try to vote that way, awesome. Would you take time between now and November or now and midterm, whatever's coming up here in the next month, would you take time to spend with God in the Bible to be sure that your heart is aligned, not to some political idea or what CNN or Fox News would say, but you say, Lord, I want to vote as close as I can to the Word of God. And I want to vote, I pray, in a way that our church can remain, our America can remain positive towards Christianity and towards the church. And don't vote for people that don't. That's all. Don't do it. Don't vote for people that come against the Word of God, because it's just going to bring persecution. It's going to make it more difficult. But you know what the good news is? If and someday, probably when we get to the point where there's a little bit of persecution, God is going to rise up and speak through anything that would come our way. God is going to move. He's going to be anointed as he always is. And whether in November you are excited, I think it's November 4th, you wake up and you are pumped and you're like, come on, my person won. Or whether you feel like the world is over. That's just how I would feel. I'm just being honest with you. I love it. Guess what? God is still on the throne. And we still go to work the next day, and we still get to share Jesus the next day, and we still get to proclaim the love of God the next day, and we still get to fight for infants that are unborn the next day, and we still get to fight and feed those that are in need. We get to work to see immigrants come to know the Lord and to have places to go and to see those that are running from their countries. We get to be a part of seeing the solution, no matter where we are, who we vote for. So today, I just pray that God will lead you, he'll guide you, and he'll direct you to be lined up with the truth of the word over anything else. And that means if I have to change and vote for somebody else, or if I've got to do it different than I've done it my entire life, I'm in, because I want to line up with the word of God, united under one. Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 13 today is where I want to just speak the word today. The last few weeks, we've talked about several different areas or several different issues. Today, just more of here in my heart. We've talked through a bunch of things, but right before chapter 2, in chapter 1 of Romans, it says in verse 29, they were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. You kids hear that over there? Thought I should pick them out there. I thought that was good. Foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but get approval to those who practice them. Right? This list right here, I think all of us, especially the parents in the room, are like, yeah, we don't like any of those things. We don't want anything of those things in our life, in our church, in our world. We don't want those things in us because they're no good. None of those things are good. I think foolish or sinner wraps it up pretty well. The foolish things, the sinful things in our world. But generally, those are things they're talking about maybe outside of the church. In 1 Corinthians, last week we looked, and it said a bunch of these things, and then it says, so were some of you. And I think all of us in the room, in fact, I know all of us in the room, we could pick one or two or four or seven of these things and say, that was me. I was those things. We used to be those things. But then Paul begins to turn the conversation and goes from those things that are most notoriously guilty. That's us. That's the ones maybe that don't know Jesus yet, that they're not walking in him. They don't have his moral character because they're not serving him. But now he speaks to those who are generally moral in their conduct. Those that may be able to say now, or at least on the outside, I can pat myself on my back because I'm no longer a bunch of these things. A lot of those things have been removed from my life. They've been removed from me, from my situation. And he begins to turn and point right at the church. The Jews here, they might feel that they will not experience God's judgment because they have the law and are in covenant with God. And he lays it out as clear as could possibly be, you have no excuse. That's pretty direct. That's pretty right in your face. I love Paul because it is right at you. It is not one specific topic that we could pick for a Real Talk sermon series. It's all of the topics. He says, you have no excuse. From what you say, what you speak, how you act, how you live, how you treat others, just what your heart would speak, you simply have no. We have no excuse. And in fact, when he gets right down to it, the you that he uses is emphatic in the question. Do you think you will escape the judgment of God? It can't get any clearer. We will not escape the judgment of God. We cannot get around the judgment of God. We can't do anything of our own self and our own understanding to get around the judgment of God. And it doesn't matter if we say I'm a Christian. It doesn't matter if we say I'm in America. I serve God. It doesn't matter what we say. It matters what's in our hearts. Because you cannot escape judgment. And in a world, especially in America, the United States of America, in fact, at Winter Jam, one of the people prayed and said, the greatest country in the history of the world, basically, or something along those lines. We've kind of grafted ourselves in, and we would look at ourselves as God's chosen people somehow. We've conveniently worked that out. It's really great for us. And I feel that we can say at times, God, I'm good. I go to church. I'm in America. I generally serve you. I try to stay morally true to your word. And then Paul comes up with this. You have no excuse when you walk in any of these things. Because you are a people who need repentance. There's no other way to look at it. There's no other way to cut it. Is we need God. We need repentance. We need the Lord to move in us. Verse 4 says, or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience? And I love this patience. Thankfully, God knows your sin. He knows my sin that we've committed. But guess what? He also knows. He knows the sin that you're going to commit tomorrow or next week or next year. He's in all time. He's in all space. He knows what's coming. But he's patient with us. He's kind with us. Because he wants us to step in to repentance. He wants us to step in to the things that he is and who he is. But I feel like so often we are people that we want God to drive us into repentance. And generally, he doesn't work that way. He leads us. I don't know if God begs, but I could almost imagine God begging us, please, please. This is the way that leads to life. This is the way that leads to repentance. This is the way that it leads to heaven. This is the way that leads to the good things of life being revealed in your life. But he leads us. He leads us. He does not drive us. And today we are a people who need the love of God because there is a wrath that is coming, a day of wrath, a day of Yahweh. The day of Christ or the second coming, on this day of final judgment, God will pour out his wrath against the wicked and deliver his people from evil. God's kindness is not about good luck. I hope you find it. But it's about leading you and me and our world to repentance. God loves you. He cares for you. He has the best things in store. He wants the great things for your life. He leads you to them. But we must follow Jesus. We have no excuse. We need repentance. Because God is a God of the verdict. There's a day coming when that wrath will be poured out. It says he will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek, but glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Greek. Something is going to happen. There's a verdict that will be laid down. There will be a day of wrath, a day of reckoning. Based on if we line ourselves with the word of God, says in fact, according to his works. Now I am so thankful that salvation, relationship with Jesus, it is on God and what he did on the cross, and it's not on what I did and who I am. But on the other side, there's this part about we're going to be blessed, we're going to receive glory and honor based on our works, based on what we do, based on how we live, which means I cannot live a life that is full of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness, gossip, slanders, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, investors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless, that know God's righteous decree, but don't do them. They deserve to die. We live, we're going to be judged according to what we do. According to if we've come into relationship with Jesus. I think Paul is making it very, very clear. And wants the Jews to understand that he's talking to, that they must not elevate their ethnicity or their religion or their beliefs over good works, over what we do. In other words, I can know God. I can, in fact, be a part of church. I can be a part of what happens at Radiant Life Church. I can be a part of what he's doing, but if I am not walking with him, if I'm not serving him, if I'm not turning my heart over him, which then is going to make my life become and to look like him, then I'm missing it. And there will be a day of verdict. There will be a day of decision. There will be a day of wrath. And I want to live, and I want to walk in the eternal life that he mentions, that he will give to those who are following him, who are walking in him, eternal life. This moment of realizing that God, above my ideas, above my agenda, above my personality, above my thoughts, is, Lord, would you help me today to put all those things aside? Would you help me today to get rid of those things? Would you help me today to realize, God, that you are going to pour out a blessing upon me, upon us, upon your church, but it's about if we stand up and do what he calls us to do. It's about if we live for him and we walk in him and we walk in relationship with him. If someone could live perfect, if someone could be genuinely good and do genuine good at every moment and never sin, then we would not need a message so direct and so clear. But I've had 5 children in my home, and from a very young age, we mess up the perfect. We mess up the perfect walk and the genuine good at all times. We have to learn. We have to grow. And then I've known some older people in my age group or older than me who I've seen, we all need to grow and need to learn and need to become more like Jesus. We need God. We need his love and we need his grace in our life today. Glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Greek. I love that God is a God of impartiality. He doesn't look at where we came from. He doesn't look at who our parents were or what community we grew up in or whether we're from America or somewhere else. God is the same God. He loves the Jew. He loves the Gentile. And I'm so glad because we're all in that second category. We're Gentiles, but we get to be grafted into the family of what God is doing and who God is. Verse 11 through 13 say, "For God shows no partiality, for all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified." God looks at it across the board. And he calls us to be his children. He calls us to love him. He calls us to follow him. He calls us to stand up for the things that he values and for who he is, the God of the universe. He wants to walk with us in grace. He wants to walk with us in forgiveness. And thankfully, it doesn't mean we have to be perfect from day one or really perfect ever, because we get to walk in him and his grace covers us and makes us pure. Thankfully. But my actions make a big deal. My actions are a big deal, as Paul is revealing here, just like they were for the Jewish people of their day. We get to be declared righteous by God. We get to be declared righteous by the judge. We get to experience his righteousness as our covering when we walk with him. We walk in relationship with him. And we let him move in our lives. It is not hearers, but the doers of the law that will be justified. And when I think about this whole political season that we're in, and I think about being in this moment, I believe that God wants each and every one of us to lock into him, to lock into the truth of who he is. God wants each and every one of us to pick up our Bible and to spend time with him and to listen for him and ask simply, "Lord, of the people that I have to vote for that may not have it, that don't understand, that have mess ups and mistakes, who is doing their best to line up with the Word of God? Who's trying? Who has the morals maybe in their heart or maybe that you're using, just like you use a donkey in the Bible to speak? I don't know. But Lord, who is it that you would have me to vote for? But way more than vote for is, Lord, then how am I gonna, and how are we gonna as the church pick up the gaps where our government doesn't get it right? How are we gonna pick up the gaps and say, Lord, I'm gonna vote the best I can to follow you, to be your servant. I'm gonna vote the best I can. But then, Lord, I pray that what I do and how I serve and how I love and how I get rid of sin in my life, I pray that as I remove those things, that God, would you help those things to fill the gaps of the unborn, of people that are poor and hurting right in our community, and people that feel like they've been ostracized from the church even, but from community, or where people hate. How do we as the church come around them and hug them and wrap them up and bring them in and share the love of God? Because no political party is going to do that. That's you and my job. And we lead towards November. We lead towards just being a country that's political, because we have political system. Lord, would you help me? And I'm praying for each one of you. Lord, would you guide and would you direct? Would you let us have good conversation? Would you let us open our hearts to you, not my own ideas? And Lord, would you even be okay? Would you help me to be all right if we disagree on a couple things? This week, on Thursday, we had about 20 of us right here praying. The Southern Baptist Convention and the Assemblies of God, we get together once a month on Thursdays. And I think the Southern Baptist Convention in Ohio, I believe their superintendent or their leader was sitting right about there, some of their other top-level people. And it was so great to sit here praying, believing God for the same thing, which is we want to see Ohio one for Jesus. And Pastor John, our Musgrave, our church health director, he got up and he was talking. He kind of led the talk. And he said, we have way, way more things that we're united on. Way more things that we're united on. And we get to come together and we could pray as two different denominations, as two different groups of people. We could lay our hands on one another. We could be excited about what God is doing. And I encourage you, let's not let anything make it where we won't do stuff like that because of stuff that is not quite as important as seeing people come to know Jesus. And in the same way today, let God lead you on everything. Politics is a pretty big deal. 4 years is a pretty long time in our culture and society right now. So listen to the Lord. Speak to him. Let him lead you and guide you. And Pastor Dave would love to field any questions after the sermon today. But today, I'm just going to pray a prayer of blessing over you. Last week we went long, and I said today we're going to talk politics, so we're going to make it short. We're going to let you get out of here a couple minutes before 12. So even if anybody's upset with anything, which I hope not, I hope we're unified. Let's do this thing. Let's reach the world for Jesus. Let's vote Republican, vote Democrat, whatever. If that's what God leads you to do, let's vote what Jesus does, and let's love people and care for our world and care for the unborn and care for the sick and care for the wounded and be social justice warriors and care for whatever it is, but in a way that leads people towards the love and the blessing of God, because that is what it is all about. This morning before we leave, if everybody in the room would just bow your heads and close your eyes. If you're here and you'd say, I am at a church and somehow we talk kind of politics and somehow I feel that the God of the universe is inviting me to be a part of his family. And this morning you'd say, I can't believe it. I never would have thought this would be possible. But here at Radiant Life Church, I feel I need to give my heart to Jesus. I feel that no excuse. I feel that I need repentance because I want to be on the right side of the verdict. And you realize today it doesn't matter what you think or who you are or what family you're in. He's a God of impartiality and he loves you. He wants you in his family. But we have to turn from the sin of our past. We've got to turn from the sin maybe of today, of this morning, and leave it behind and turn to Jesus and give our heart to him and become a child of his. Make him the Lord of my life. And today, if you'd say, I want Jesus, I want him in my life, I want to turn my back, do a 180 on my past, and instead turn to him and follow him and love him and become all that he has called me to be. You'd say, that's me. All you have to do today is raise your hand, and we're going to pray a prayer. And I would encourage you, yes, I see your hand. Anybody else, raise your hand high in this room. If you say, I want to give my life to Jesus. Yes, anybody else? Anybody else? The most important decision you can ever make, to give your heart to Jesus. So at least a couple of hands in the room. If you would, as a group, would you pray with me? We're all going to pray out loud. We're going to pray and ask Jesus to become the Lord of my life, to forgive us of our sins. And all we have to do, not the words, but the heart that says them, means we are right with him. We are whole, and we no longer need that repentance. He's given it to us, and we just walk in him and continue to give him our sin and our problem, and he makes us new. And the verdict when we came in was we were going to be judged, and we're going to be judged harshly. But when we leave, we're part of his family. He's welcomed us in with our problems, our baggage, our messes, our situations, and no matter what I've done, he brings me in. And now it's my job and my goal to line up with the Word of God. Because once I'm a Christian, this Word is everything. It is life. It is truth. And I must align with it. That is what I'm committing to walking in Him. So all over this room, if you would you repeat after me? Dear Jesus, I love you. I need you. I ask you to become Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins and make me new. Help me to lock in to your truth in the Word and make it what I'm about. Help me to love my world and care for my world the best possible way that I can, being led by your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. I love you and thank you. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. Radiant Life Church, I love getting to bring the Word. I love getting to come to church and worship with you. And last night at the concert, David Crowder, he was there, and he had this hat, which someday I'm going to get brave enough to wear on a Sunday morning, but I see a couple hats out there. But it says, I know a ghost, and that would be the Holy Ghost. And this week, I encourage you, live like you know a ghost. Live like you know the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and He wants to help you and walk with you, because guess what? You know a ghost, and you're going to walk with Him this week, and He wants to encourage you and uplift you and build you up to become all that you can be in Him. So this week, be blessed. Walk for Him. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you talk about. Savor the presence of Jesus. Have a great week.